Hi, welcome to Success in the Evening with Coach Ricky Terry. You're about to listen to the radio version of Success in the Evening. This is a live radio show that airs on NLGradio.com every Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. That's right, every Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. on NLGradio.com. I can't wait to have you become a listener and then a member of the flight crew. All you got to do is listen to us. Become a first-time caller, and you become a member of the flight crew. Guys, sit back and enjoy my two very special guests, Miss Elizabeth Rose and Mr. Jeff Smith. They're going to help give you pieces to the puzzle that can advance you to the next level in your career. And we'll talk at the end of this broadcast.
You gotta love it. One more time, if you want to be a part of the conversation, give us a call at 202-299-6673. And don't forget the question of the day. What is it again, Darius?
What is the biggest mistake you've made as an employee? What's the biggest mistake you've made as an employee?
All right, guys, and while you're doing that, while you're getting ready to call in, don't forget to get your pad, your pen, because my girl, my friend, a shown-off young leader in the industry is coming to the line, Miss Liz Rose. Liz, how are you?
I am good. A little nervous, but good.
Now, Liz, why are you nervous? It ain't but me, you, Mr. Darren DePaul.
10,000 of our closest friends.
So it's just us. Hey, guys, again, don't let her fool you. There's nothing that she can't do. Liz, why don't you go ahead and tell the people who you are and what you do, and then we're going to get into some conversation.
Okay. I am Elizabeth Rose. I am currently the Associate Director of Business Solutions, which I know means very little to most folks, but I have spent most of my career in the association space, and I work in our IT department, and I manage one side of it that deals with our AMS, which is our database, and also the integrations to the database and our website.
Well, Liz, one of the reasons that I asked you to come on the show is because I've had a front row seat as, you know, watching you develop your career, watching you chart and navigate your way through what it was you wanted to do. And I've been so impressed with how you've managed your career. And I called and I said, Liz, I really want to talk to you about how you make your decisions, because I always see you doing, exactly what I teach young leaders to do, and you do it in such a beautiful manner, and that is, you make sound and timely decisions when it comes to your career. And I wanted to ask you, when did you know you had a career to manage?
And actually, that's a good question, because that goes to one of the points I wanted to make about change. But I knew I had a career to manage when I had gone through my divorce, when I started working at NAIS with your wife, Coach Terry,
yep.
And we were changing our platform at work. We were moving from a Apple platform to a Windows platform, and I started working with the IMIS, which is the database software package I still work with today, although that is going to be short-lived, but anyway, that's another story. But that was when I knew I had a career to manage, and that was more because I felt like I was in a good place and I was actually doing the right work at work and not just doing a job anymore. It was something that made me feel good about what I was doing, and I enjoyed it.
Okay. And once you started managing that career, how did you set up a process for charting and navigating steps to the next level for you? Did that cross your mind? Because, you know, like I said, I've had a front row seat of watching you go from one position strategically to the next. What were the decisions you made in that?
Well, you know, like I told you before, I have really been blessed to have opportunities come at times where I needed to make a change career-wise. The most recent two happened from the same old coworker. She recommended me for the company I have now, because I don't have the same position. I've been promoted actually twice since I've been there, and but my previous job that I was at for almost 7 years, she recommended me. And this is not a person that I'm extremely close with or anything like that. And that's another point I wanted to make to your listeners. You never know who is going to be your cheerleader, who's going to promote you, and who's going to help you on your career path. So I would say never burn bridges. Always try to make friends with people, even if you're that person that just says hi to them every morning and they know that you're there on time every day. Make it so everybody has something good to say about you, and not in a suck-up, phony kind of way, and just in a genuine kind of way. Like, I'm a polite person, so I can speak to somebody every day. That's not taking me out of my comfort zone. But make sure that people have something positive to say about their time around you. No matter how limited it is, make sure they have something positive to say.
Well, one of the things I get to watch. So, and as someone who's had the privilege of coaching you and having you give me advice, is that you always strategize. When you left, you know, there's some areas we probably need to get into to get a full story. Liz, what's your whole background? You feel like sharing that? I think that's going to give people, because you're in a high-powered position now, but you didn't start out there. Where did you start out at? And I know you were military. Oh.
Well, yes, I started out in the military, but after that, like, I worked as a secretary at the Army and Navy Club. That was, like, my first real after military job. And I worked with the database and in the membership department and moved on from there, because after a while, there was no room for growth, the structure of it, and it was time to do something different. And that's when I met Danita, when I went to NAIS, the National Associations of Independent Schools. And I started there. I was their data person. And I, you know, went there and immediately, the process that I was responsible for, I immediately worked on that and reduced the time for producing those labels that I had to, because it goes back to when you sent out sticky mailing labels to people when they bought your mailing list. But that was one of the things that was a big deal for me, was because I had gotten the processing time of the labels from 4 hours down to an hour or less. Okay. So, you know, and I was really, you know, I was hungrier and young, and really took advantage when an opportunity in the IT department became available and somebody took a chance on me, because really, more I think than anything else, they saw my potential and that I was hungry and that I would work hard. And, you know, I had done that job as the, and I don't even remember what the title was of that job I had, good grief. It's been so long, but, you know, I did that job as best I could, and it just grew from there. And actually at NAIS, they, you know, I was working in the IT department. I got certified on the Macs and all that stuff, and was doing support. And then we went through a change where we were changing platforms from the Macs to PCs, and we were in that change, we were getting this new database software, we got a new accounting software and different things.
Well, and let me ask you a question, Liz, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I want to make sure.
No.
Question for you. When you did all these things and you were making those changes, did it ever occur to you that you were setting up conditions that almost made people say, that's who you need to bring on to this project? Because again, that's one of the things you've been really good at, is joining projects and taking them to the next level. Was that by accident, or was that purposely put out by you?
Okay, let me be perfectly honest. It was, my work ethic was not by accident, because my work ethic is always strong.
Wow, I like that.
I feel like I may not be as smart as you, I may not be as educated as you are, but you will not outwork me.
Come on.
I will learn, and I will do what I need to do and get the job done.
Okay, guys. Let me do this.
But done well.
Let me do this, because sometimes I feel like, as a drill sergeant, we had to get privates ready for testing, and often if it was really important, we tell them, we're going to stump our foot real hard to get your attention that this is something you need to remember. Guys, I'm stumping my foot real hard because Liz said my work ethic is not by accident, and I need us to understand, if you're going to move to your level of success, if you're going to get to where it is you want to be, it has to be purposeful, it has to be planned, and it has to be charted and navigated, understanding that there are going to be some shortages that you possess. And Liz talked about this. There are some areas where she didn't necessarily have what everybody else had, but what she did have was a determination that you're not going to outwork her. And when we come back from break, we're going to talk about that a little bit more, and then I'm going to ask Liz the question of the day. Liz, I don't know if you are familiar with the question of the day, but the question is, what is the biggest mistake you've made as an employee? We'll be right back, guys.
See?
Hey guys, welcome back to Success in the Evening with Coach Ricky Terry. I'm your host, and if you want to be a part of the conversation today, if you want to talk about charting and navigating, planning and strategizing your career, give us a call at 202-299-6673. On the phone with me is someone who has charted and navigated her career, and she's moving into bigger and better places. As you heard her say earlier, she's already just got promoted and then received another promotion. And that's because when you are who you say you are, and we talk about this all the time, guys, be who you say you are. You know, if you say you are a leader, be a leader. If you say you are, you know, someone who can produce leadership, then there ought to be some evidence of you producing leadership. And this young leader has done just that. Liz, are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay, Liz, here's what everybody wants to know. Now, I got to tell you, on my social media, I got some great answers. Mr. Darren DePaul, who is part of the flight crew and with me, he gave a really great answer to this question that had me in tears, had the whole station in tears. And so we're going to ask you, what is the one mistake you made? What is it, Darren? How's that question formulated to get it right?
I forgot it now.
What's the biggest mistake you've made as an employee?
Thank you. The producer don't like us when we do that stuff, Liz. I'm sorry. What's the biggest mistake, Liz, that you think as an employee you've made? It don't have to be with the company you're with.
It hasn't been with this company. I try to learn from my mistakes, but I have made it more than once, and it's not really seeing people for what they were. Just like I was you asked me about what kind of happened at NEIS, and, you know, did it, my work ethic and really jumping into that project and changing things, that was intentional. However, them taking advantage of me was not. And they took advantage of me in that situation and actually got rid of my position after I finished, got everything documented and set up for them to be successful. But it was fine because the Lord blessed me. And, you know, I think they thought that I was going to hang around to the very end of when they were ready to let me go. But as soon as I put my resume out there, I got a job, like, right away, and I was gone. And they were actually angry at me for leaving.
And what did you take from that as a leader and as someone who understands that, you know, you still, and this is what I tell young leaders all the time, you have to remember a company is looking out for its interest. And you have to also, within the confines of working for an organization, a company, even yourself, you have to look out for your interests. What did you take from that whole experience, and what should we look for when we run into similar situations?
That's a hard one because I'm really not sure how I could have seen what they were going to do. There was one person that was obvious that didn't like me, but the message I was getting was that person wasn't going to have any power to do anything.
Okay.
So I guess never underestimate the people who outwardly let you know that they don't like you. Don't take it for a joke. If they're in any sort of power where they might be able to do anything career-wise against you, you need to prepare to move on. Because sometimes, you know, people want to fight these good fights on the job and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, it's a job. And I can tell you from being in management, the company always supports management. Always.
Well, I can tell you this. I tell people all the time, you know, and I suggest to them, pay the toll, move on. And I think you just said the same thing. There have been places where it was very obvious that I was not a good fit at that time. I may have been at an earlier time, but I'm just not a good fit. And it's not worth the stress. And good leaders make, you know, timely decisions. I made, you know, positive, timely decisions. I made some decisions that I look back on and go, maybe this wasn't the right time. What has been one of the best career moves you've ever made, Liz? I like those questions, Darian, that make them go,
You know, I would honestly have to say coming to my current company, well, association. I work for the Mortgage Bankers Association, and they are a nonprofit trade association. So I really think that that has probably been the best career move for me yet. I have really had to stretch myself and really take on a lot of responsibilities. And really now, just with this project, I'm somewhat overwhelmed. But prior to that, I really wasn't overwhelmed. I was just really growing in my skills and things like that. And as far as, like I said, I've been recognized there. I'm now managing a staff of 3 out of the 7 people we have in total in IT, counting, including myself. So, you know, it's really been a growth experience in a lot of ways.
Okay. I like the part where you said you're now in a position where you can feel that you have to grow, that you have to learn some new things, some new, because one of the things that I caution, especially go-getters and those that have become very good at their craft, is what are you learning? Are you positioning yourself so that you can get to a new level? And in doing that, is there a new level now that you're, is there new goals? Are there new plans for goals? What's going on now?
Well, for me, I want this AMS implementation to be successful. I want to be made director, from associate director to director. To me, change is where, you know, it's hard, it's uncomfortable, but change is where I found my career. Change is where I have been promoted, I've gotten to the next level. So change is a good thing. If you know, to your point, Coach Terry, if you aren't learning anything, what are you really doing? Because it's easy for me to do the day-to-day. You know, I've worked with IMIS, the other database software we're getting rid of. I've worked with that for over 20 years. I can tell you about that in my sleep. That doesn't, but I'm not learning anything. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you something that I already know. You know, when somebody asks me a question, I know I'm the smartest person in the room about it.
Wow. I got to tell you, I love your attitude. Darian DePaul has a question for you. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Liz, is it Liz? Is that the way you'd like to be referred to?
Her Liz name is Elizabeth.
I know it's Elizabeth, but see,
Liz
my...
is fine.
Liz is fine?
Liz, hey, special Liz, is for me. That's special
Liz,
for me.
Liz, what your people call you, Liz? What your people call you?
Liz,
and one of the things that I was going to ask is, you know, as Rick had talked about the steady progression or the calculated progression that you're making through your career, when you get to the point where you said you're able to talk about your chosen area in your sleep, does that mean it's now time to move because you know everything, or you're so comfortable, you're so adept and adroit in that particular position that it's time to move on? Or does that mean you're just, you know, enjoy the view from where you are until it's time to move?
I think it depends on where you're at in your career. So right now, I'm 49. I'm in a different phase. So I can take some comfort in not learning, but actually I'm in a situation where I'm learning a lot. So but I would say in 5 years, I may not want to start all over and challenge myself the same way. I may want to stay in a situation where we're taking on new projects, but they're smaller, and I'm learning smaller things, but not something as major as an AMS implementation. So I think there are steps in it. my career, and I don't mean coasting as in I'm that person at work that everybody can't stand because I don't do anything.
We used to call that retired on active duty.
Right. So I don't want to be, I don't mean coasting like that, but I mean, to some degree, it's not so challenging every day.
Right. Well, Liz, I want to tell you, one, I want to thank you for coming on to the show. And two, I want to remind you how much pride I have in the work you do. Not only do you do that work, you have a beautiful daughter, and your husband is a wonderful man, and your family is a community staple, both in and out of the church, and your leadership is unquestionable. And so we want to thank you for sharing your experience and your knowledge. Is there one thing you would share, especially with young ladies who are looking to come into the IT industry, into leadership? What would you share with them in general as they begin to come into the workforce?
I would say, especially for young women, I would say definitely make sure that you dress the part and stay genuine to yourself. And when I say dress the part, I'm saying still be a woman, but do it in a way where nobody can say anything about anything that about how you're presenting yourself at work. Because one thing that happened to me consistently when I was younger and starting out was that people would meet me and they would say, "Oh, you're so pretty." And I'm not blowing myself up here, because really I would cringe when they said that, because I was like, so you think I'm pretty, so you think I'm stupid. So I've had positions where I had to talk over people and use more technical terms so that they would know that I knew what I was doing. And I love to see that look of confusion on their face.
Well, I tell people all the time, Liz, be who you say you are. You know, if you say you're a leader, you know, as you say, dress the part of a leader. If you say you're a follower, dress the part of a good follower. But be who you say you are. Guys, you've heard it from whom, you know, someone who has for over 20 years not just climbed the ladder, but redefined how you get there. And not everybody goes the traditional route. And so, Liz, I want to thank you. You are a mover and a shaker. You are a thought leader in advancing your career and then sharing that information with others. And we thank you again for stopping by the show. And guys, you're listening to NLG Radio, Success in the Evening with Coach Ricky Terry. And if you would like to be a part of today's conversation, maybe you want to get in on that question of the day, you know, give us a call at 202-299-6673.
Your makeup just so. Guess you don't know that you're beautiful. Try on every dress that you own. You were fine in my eyes a half hour ago. And if your mirror won't make it any clearer, I'll be the one to let you. Out of all the girls, you're my one and only girl.
Welcome back to NLG Radio and Success in the Evening with Coach Ricky Terry. Man, we've had a good time, had a great caller with good content and information, Miss Liz Rose, and we want to thank her for calling. Brother DePaul.
That's me, bro. That's me.
You've made a couple of moves. You've made some moves, mm-hmm. And you told us about your biggest mistake. I'm telling you, I don't feel like crying no more, so we're not going back down that one. I'm just going to say, I had tears rolling down to the floor. He had me in here crying. But
all we're going to say is, don't believe everything you hear and leave it there. That's where it starts, because, you know, sometimes people will tell you things eliciting a response.
And eliciting?
Attempting to elicit a response.
Okay.
And what they're actually trying to get you to do is to step into a trap. And so you have to pay attention to what the question is. Uh-oh. You have to pay attention to what the question is.
Step and into the bad side. Gonna be a mean ride.
And answer the question in the way that you believe that they want the question answered.
So you're just going to make your point known. You're just going to get it out there, huh? Guys, you're listening to NLG Radio. I'm telling you, this day is already taking a hard left that I'm loving, because one of the things we do on this radio show is we keep it real. And there's some experiences you're going to get out there, especially to my young leaders. You're going to run into some avenues where you got to make a decision, and you got to make one rather quickly about, you know, do I stay, do I go, do I succumb to, do I adapt to, what happens? And if you're not managing that, somebody else is managing it for you. And trust me, anytime you give up that much control over your career, over your success, there's a really good chance you're not going to get what you want out of it. Would you agree with that, Brother DePaul?
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you do when you are charting and navigating? Because you and I have worked together. We've done some things. What do you do when you're looking at making your next best move? Are there some practical steps you take?
One of the things is, as much as possible, you'd like to pad the landing. And what that means is that if you are going someplace where you are completely unfamiliar, you want to, it's similar to preparing for an interview. Mm. You know, as soon as somebody calls you and says, hey, we'd like you to come in and interview for a position, your first step should be research. You should open the research bag up and empty it before you get to that interview. And so one of the things is, you know, usually jobs come in one of two phases, either organically, where one of your friends is like, hey, we got a position open with my company I think you would be great for, let me switch those up. The inorganic is the one, mm-hmm. where somebody would come in and say, hey, we got a position. The organic might be considered to be where you're looking through you're making a physical search for the position. You see one and you apply to it.
Okay.
And so if the second one applies, then what you want to do is, again, open up that research bag.
And let me make sure, because he's speaking from what we talked about. And when you open up that research bag, what's really happening is you are taking mental ownership for the results you want. That's how I want you to look at this strategically, is that because I'm going into research mode to research company A, B, and C, to research so and so and so, I'm now taking mental ownership for the very results I want. I'm not leaving it up to anybody else. I'm going in fully armed to get what it is, you know, I want. I worked with a young man not too long ago who, you know, it's been a long time since I dealt with this one. He was going in to ask for a raise. You know, I thought people stop asking for raises. They just accepted whatever it was that somebody offered them, but he was actually going in to negotiate.
Well, whether people do or not, I mean, that's one of those things that we have to teach, is that sooner or later, and it's almost an annual thing, you have to reevaluate and reassess your position. One of the things that I try and do anytime I get a position is from the day that they say you're hired, I'm trying my best to become the next best person qualified for promotion. So that's from day one. So with that in mind, one of the things that you want to do is start researching what the next step is. Liz said that she's an associate director now, and so her next goal is to become the director.
And she's already being, because of her work ethic, okay? And she wasn't joking when she said that about her work
ethic. Oh, I didn't think she was.
No, because of her work ethic, she got noticed almost immediately.
Right, right.
Before she got in the company. And then, remember, I say all the time, be who you say you are.
Mm-hmm.
She produced those results after she was in there. And so I want to share with people, don't do all you can do, like Brother DePaul said, and doing the research and nailing the interview and, you know, doing all those things only to get in there and not produce the results that are needed.
Definitely not. Because, see, there's two things that go on in the interview. One of the things is that they are assessing you as a potential hire. The next thing they're trying to do is determine what the benchmarks are for once you get hired. Mm. Because you have to meet the goals and standards that they believe they hired you for. And if you get in the door and you're nothing like who they hired or who the person was in that interview, believe me, you can wind up standing on the sidewalk as fast as you got through the door.
And that happens. And not only does that happen in corporations, that happens with me. When I'm coaching either individuals, which we do a lot of, when I'm speaking and working with organizations to get their teams where it is they want to be, I have to also recognize I'm always under the radar. And that means mm-hmm. I've got to be able to help produce, notice what I said, I've got to be able to help produce results that are tangible, that people can see, you know, here's where this is going. So I share with everyone, and I want to say it again because I can never say it enough, be who you say you are. If you can't become anything else, you ought to be able to become who you say you are. And if you work on that, and how do you do that? That's easy. Don't give up, don't give in, and don't give out. Continue to learn, continue to grow, continue to accept the challenges. Most of those I work with, I challenge them. I challenge them to new heights. I challenge them to new ways of thinking. I break through the old stuff so that we can get to new ground. Dee, what's been one of the most challenging things about getting to where it is you want to be right now?
Well, one of the things is that I have no clue about what the experience entails. One of the things that Coach is helping me with is getting a business off the ground. And this is one of those business ideas where there's a product that doesn't exist on the market that I would like to bring to market. Now, from that point right there, we are working with absolutely no education.
I'm not sure I wanted to share that part. No, you're working without no education.
No, and the thing about it is, well, the two of us are learning together because we have to move forward from a place of from point go, from start.
Yep.
So when we move from that point forward, you have to be willing, one, to explore, and one, to make mistakes. And those two things you have to be willing to do automatically and enthusiastically.
Well, I think you said it when you said it. First of all, successful people have made more mistakes than anybody else. The people who are afraid to make mistakes, and that maybe we ought to grab that one along with the question of the day.
Well, you know, Thomas Edison said in his creation of the light bulb, he said that not only did he find the one way to make a light bulb, but he also found 200 ways not to make a light bulb. And so the mistakes that you make should lead you to success.
If you don't give up, don't give in, and don't give out. Most people stop at the point they think they're making a mistake.
You just threw that in. Did we get that copywritten yet? Do we got that? Is
Which
that
one?
On t-shirt? Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't
what do you think? I wish somebody would try to use it.
Hey,
it,
you know what?
You got it on t-shirts yet?
We gonna get it there.
No, we're not.
Ask you how. Ask him. Ask Coach t-shirt. How many times I told him about that one.
Huh? My son has been trying to get my vault. See, in my vault, I got all these sayings, and this one is in my vault. I've been saying it for the better part of 15
let's
years.
Let's not get off track. Can we make money off of this yet?
See, no. I did just want a hoodie. Look, here's what I know. Here's what I know. Anybody that listens to this show that has known me for probably...
Did he say we?
Hold on. We'll address that in a second. Anybody that watches this show that has known me for the past 4 years knows I love my hoodies.
Hold on. We gonna address my money?
Yeah. Look, Yes, shortly.
Hey, guys, if you listen to this and you think any part of this is right, I want you to give me a call at 202.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like part of the money that we're going to make off of Coach's saying, 202-299-6673, just call up and say, I would like some of the Coach's money.
What? Janita.
Good vibes, good energy filled today. I got a big smile with a big heart. Hey. Baby girl, come on, I got a love dart. Got me love struck with a hand to go. Hey. Come on, take a seat, we hitting the road. It's just you and me, and me and you. Hey. Dang, I lost breath. Let me see.
Love me, isn't she wonderful? Isn't she precious? So baby, you know what love. Here when you need me here, take you to the moon, got me switching gears. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
one night, just so I can make you mine. Cause girl, you're so fine, and I think I'm catching vibes. We're together, just you and I. I just need you in my life.
Welcome back to Success in the Evening with Coach Ricky Terry and the Flight Crew, y'all. And I got to tell y'all something. I got to be honest with y'all real quick, because Coach was getting on me just a second ago. He was trying to figure out why I was playing that. And I got to let y'all know, the artist you just heard is called Lil Trap Tendo, and that is a very dear friend of mine. I've known him for about four or five years now, and he has really gained his stride now. He's on Apple Music, which many of you may not know, but that is a hard list to crack. Everybody doesn't just make, you don't just put your music on Apple Music. That's not like YouTube. You get selected. You have to mean something, and you have to have made it to make it onto Apple Music. So
when are we gonna have him on the show?
Oh, as soon as.
Why did I get pushed under the bus?
That
was my personal thought.
Oh wow. Okay, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that.
You treat me like a Washington Redskins fan.
Yeah. Well, Tendo, look, Tendo, as we call him, we'll be seeing you soon. Yeah. But no, I just wanted to give that shout out. We'll be seeing him soon. He's doing a tour. He just sold out an entire arena in Denver. I mean, and he's not older than me. We are the same age.
Okay, how did I get thrown? I was grooving to that.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Not what you said.
No, that's what, you know, that is what he said.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, okay. I
didn't see
that. No, it was the other artist that we played a minute ago that he was talking about. But no, that was one of his singles called Isn't She?
I wish I could fire y'all. I do.
You got something to say. You have to be paying us first before you can fire us. You can't fire a volunteer. Wait a minute. Yes, you can.
I forgot
about that. Yeah, I did get fired as a volunteer once.
You made?
No, that was a different mistake.
Oh, you got that fired as a volunteer.
Let me tell you the story in quick. Here we go.
Oh, Lord.
When the brand new Vietnam Veterans Memorial opened up, me and a friend and I, both of us were volunteers. Both of us were volunteers. Now, this is high school, so you have to put this in the high school category. Anyway, we were supposed to be at the wall downtown, helping people find their loved ones at the wall. Now, again, we're high schoolers, doing what high schoolers do, cutting up all the time. So the thing was, we didn't understand the reverence of the memorial.
Oh, my God.
And so because we didn't understand the reverence of the memorial, we were, like I said, doing what high school kids do. So at the end of our, I'd probably say third or fourth day at work, the boss came by and said, "Hey, gentlemen, you know, thank you so very much for your contribution." But you know,
they gave you the nice boot.
Yeah, so I did.
Your
services are no longer needed.
See, I don't. Part of me really wants to know what exactly you did, but the other
part of me is
scared.
Why did you open that door?
It's a memorial. You know what the scene is at a memorial. You're somber.
No, I was over there cutting jokes.
We was having a good time. But we were high schoolers.
But what's amazing is that nothing has changed.
So, ladies and gentlemen.
So I was just out of place in time.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to send help or a care package to the super producer, just track the number 202-299-6673. Give it a call and then send me some type of help.
Or Facebook, One Due North LLC. You can reach us there. You know, there are so many ways to reach us.
You can find us on Instagram at the number one, Due North, DueNorth. LLC, One Due North LLC. You can find me over on LinkedIn under Ricky Terry, owner of One Due North LLC, And guys, we've had a great time, and it's not over with yet. We got one more lesson coming, and my good friend is going to be coming up in about 20 minutes, Mr. Jeff Smith from California. You know, Jeff, if you're listening right now, man, I love you. He sent me a picture the other day, Darren. Mm-hmm. What's that famous highway in California that all the movies are in, where the Pacific Ocean, you can see it, Route 1? Is it Route 1, Route 1?
The Pacific Coast Highway?
Yes.
He
was driving that middle of the day,
mm-hmm.
around 2 or 3 o'clock, and decided while he was cruising, you know, he's going to shoot me a picture of it.
Video? Did he shoot you a video or just a photo?
No, he shot me a photo. Here, look, we'll get him back. Did you want to take a picture next to your Lamborghini, the Escalade, or the Range Rover? Because we'll let him know which one are we taking the picture by.
We can go by the dealership and shoot you next to a picture of any one of those.
We don't got to go to the dealership. It's just in the garage.
Joshua, I need you to stop talking for the IRS start here.
Because we told him last year we didn't make nothing. And, and you talking about a three-car garage.
Okay, we're going to go to a quick music break so we can straighten this stuff out. On a serious note, guys, you've got to manage your career. You've got to manage those things that are important to you. And then you've got to know how to have some fun. Because one of the things that my caller didn't get a chance to get into while she's done all the different things and made the climb, you know, towards moving to a full director, she also had a lot of fun, and people ask me all the time, you know, about the work, and being successful and getting on the grind. Part of the grind is understanding when it's time to rest. And one of those moments, I had a chance to rest this weekend. You remember my guest, was it last week? Miss Patty Dash came on and with the National Kidney Foundation serving Baltimore and Delaware, and she invited us up to Greystone Golf Course in Whitehall, Maryland, and I think it's Whitehall, Maryland, and we had such a great time. There were over 100 plus golfers out there, and everything she talked about, it was what it was, and Danita and I went up, and we had a great time. We had a chance to golf together and just spend some good quality time in the midst of a good cause, and I want to thank all of you for the work that they did to put on this program, this event. And we're going to have Miss Patty back to talk about some of the success that went on with that event. In the meantime, we're going to take another quick break. I want to come back.
Don't forget to promote Patty's event that we're getting ready to do in October.
The walk.
Right.
The National Kidney Foundation walk. Right. That's going to take place up in Baltimore, and there's going to be one in D.C., but we're going to the one in Baltimore, Success in the Evening, and I've been told by the Vice President of Operations that members of the staff are going to come up as well and participate, and we're going to need your help, so we're going to be registering for that this week. The event is October the 6th, and we hope you support us as we go out and walk this walk, because it's important. We know people in our family who are suffering with kidney disease. We know people in our communities that are suffering with it. And we know that we can make a difference with this. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little football. Welcome back to NLGRadio.com. This is Success in the Evening. I'm your host, Coach Ricky Terry, president and founder of One Due North LLC, your professional mentoring company. And if you're looking to move your career, if you're moving to the next level of your success and you want a little bit of help, I want you to reach out to me. You can contact me at my email address, Rick T. That's Rick, R-I-C-K-Y, T, T as in Tom, I'm sorry, R-I-C-K, T, Darren, T. I need you to leave me alone,
T, T as in whistle,
T as in Tom, at onedonorth.com, Rick T at onedonorth.com. All right, I got to do this because y'all know I'm a straight up Cowboy fan. D, what'd you think about them boys?
Bruh, you know, I have no idea which I enjoy more. The fact that the Washington team lost to us or the fact that we beat the Washington team. Now, I know you're going to, some people will say that's the same thing. No, it's not. No, it's not.
No, not even close.
They are different.
Go ahead and explain. Break. I want you guys to stand by for this artwork. Go ahead and break it down.
When I say that I don't know whether I am happier that the Washington team lost or that we beat them, I think I'm going to go with the fact that we beat them. Because the thing about it is they had the lead. For the second week in a row.
This is true.
The second week in a row, the Washington team was up.
Yes.
They were ahead.
And celebrating. They were leading. And celebrating like it.
They were the leaders in their particular contest. And then they tripped and fell on their foreheads.
Again.
Again. Once again.
You know who else I was happy to see fall on their forehead? I like that. We're gonna use that one. Who fall on your
forehead? Because there's a...
Pittsburgh.
So you gotta,
Pittsburgh.
Yes. Pittsburgh. Absolutely. And see, and then I have a very, 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 very dear friend who's a Miami Dolphins fan.
Okay. I was just going to go. I was going
to
say...
And I just need...
Wait a minute. Are you saying...
I'm just going to have to say that we were close... Probably till up until like the second half of yesterday's game. She's not taking my calls. She's not answering my emails.
Here's what I'm gonna say to that one. I would like to send my condolences.
Oh no, not the condolences.
To all Miami fans, as your Dolphins organization just looks like it kicked the bucket, but they did it willingly. Like they just kind of said, like, nah. Okay.
I had been blocked on all of her social media.
I believe it. I just don't think it was for the Dolphins slander.
What do you think was the best game on yesterday?
Before we venture from that, the comment that JT made was he didn't think it was because of the Dolphins thing.
I thought I could get that one.
It got by. Ah. But now what you have to do is add on to the fact.
Y'all are crazy.
Add on to the fact, if I would have been blocked before that, now you got a team that's lost by almost 100 plus odd points in games.
No, I think it's like 103 or so.
You're right. So if I was already going to get blocked, you know what the world of Nanny Boo Boo looks like when your team has lost by 100 points in their first two games.
Well, see, what scares me is everybody's talking about, okay, the Dolphins lost big, like they even lost big to the Ravens. But I feel like the conversation that's not being had is the Patriots are a little too dangerous this year. Like, that is ridiculous.
No. Let's back this thing up because I saw something yesterday that scared me more than Tom Brady. And you guys know I'm a straight-up Cowboys fan. But did you see the Kansas City Chiefs and how Mahomes picked them
apart? Oh, yeah, 444 with four touchdowns?
But Mahomes is not a joke. He's just in Kansas City.
No.
You can't say he's just in Kansas City.
No, but
I'm good. No, that's a team. Okay. Andy Reid, I'm telling you, I'm a Cowboy fan.
I know. I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you.
It isn't Jet. Well, you better make what it's you not mean like, just clear. He's Jet.
Yeah.
He is doing Tom Brady surgery.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree. But what I'm saying is that on the East Coast, who do you hear about? You hear about New England. You hear about Dallas. You hear about Pittsburgh.
And you're getting ready to start hearing about the Chiefs.
Right. That's what I'm saying is that Chiefs.
But I disagree because you're talking about, and I don't claim to be an expert, and if you want to get in, you may not even have time to get into this one because in about 5 minutes we got my guy coming up.
But we'll write it down for sure.
Yeah, you can email us at rickt@onedonorth.com. But what I want to say, though, when you look at what he did and what he's doing, and you're also talking about the NFL Player of the Year last year.
MVP, too.
MVP.
He's running for back-to-back. I think he's got my vote.
He is right now, I think, the quarterback, because what Tom Brady doesn't have is legs. Mm-hmm. Now, he has skills. He will run if it's available. He picks and chooses his moment. This kid, if he even looks like he's ready to take off, they got to close up because, you know, he will. Mm-hmm. And then he
can make 10-yard no-look passes running on his back foot.
The last person to do that is Brett Favre.
I feel like that is really just kind of not getting the attention it should. He can run one way.
That was my point, is that it's not getting the attention that it deserves because of where he is.
I don't think it's where it's at.
But it's not a Kemba Walker in, you know, on the Charlotte Hornets situation where, like, no matter.
Well, you always find a way to bring some basketball
into a conversation. Because that's a lot of what it is. I mean, that's a lot of what it is. If you look at it, like, you got players who are just, they're great at their craft. They're amazing at it. But the market that they play at is completely, you know, underdeveloped. So, you know, everything isn't always that, and Kansas City is not that situation because Kansas City is becoming it's just becoming one of those staples in the NFL.
Here's something that's going to change the league, and I don't know what the report is right now, but Drew Brees, that was a major injury.
Yeah.
I don't know what the report is.
Ben
Roethlisberger
is out for the season.
He can't feel his fingers.
And you know what? Wow. That with Ben out for the season, if you're a Baltimore fan, the door's open. That means it's Baltimore and New England in the AFC.
The door was open when their running back went for what, 400 yards or so?
Here's another surpriser, and I got to tell you, I'm really surprised. What is going on with Cam Newton? Cam is.
I
think he is it the fact that he may have taken too many hits to show up?
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say
I think Cam is just a Bama. That's all there is to it.
I think success or too much early attention will really get to your head. And let's look at a Kaepernick situation. Some people, they get to that top and then it just kind of plateaus from them and it's all downhill from there. You know, Cam might have been one of those dudes. Now, can he make a comeback? I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's probably it's improbable. It's just simple as that.
I'm just going with straight Bama.
But I did want to say that I think Mahomes is going to be the next quarterback of the future. That's going to be me.
Well, I think the next quarterback of the future. I think teams have got to know how to take advantage of some of the things, and every team will experience some injuries, every team will experience some setback, but also I think every team will have to look at, you know, what's going on around them and how can they improve during the moments when, you know, things are down. In our case, Darian, our Cowboys looking good.
Bro, they looking good.
I mean, the coaching is looking good. Did you notice the scheme?
Well, and, you know, one of the things that I have other Cowboy fan friends who have been really down on Dak Prescott, and they are starting to come around, and I like that. I like he is starting. I think it's a comfort thing.
Well, you know, when you first come in the league, and he's been in what now, 4 years, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah.
Okay, I think especially when you're building the pieces around you, just like in your career or in your organization or your small business, you know, you don't come out right away on all cylinders. It takes a while. Even if you do, you still have to deal with those setbacks, and then you start building. I think the Cowboys has done a great job in building and getting everything ready. Okay, so at this point, what has to happen is you have to start now getting even better. You'd have to learn how to win better. And that's one of the things I want to see people who listen to this show do, and I want to help you get there. I want to help you win better. And speaking of winning better, if you are a leader in charge of people, this is a segment you don't want to miss. This is my good friend, someone I've had the privilege of working for. My company did some work for him to assist his people. And he cares about his people. And that's also one of my 11 principles. Know your people and look out for their welfare. Guys, I want to introduce to you my good friend, Mr. Jeff Smith. Jeff, how are you, sir?
Mr. Coach Terry, I'm doing great. How are you?
Sound like my son got in your ear. I'm doing fine, Jeff. How's California?
California right now is 90 degrees and sunny.
So you're just going to throw that out there at us, huh? Just like that.
It's not on fire, is it, Jeff? Where you are is not on fire.
Not on fire yet.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll escape
that
this week. Well, I'm praying for you.
Well, Jeff, we got to ask. We just came out of a football segment. Before we get started, do you have a football team, and which one is it?
Well, I'm a lifelong New York Giants fan.
Oh,
not sharing the best right now.
No.
And ladies and gentlemen, that'll be concluding Mr. Smith's segment.
thanks for joining us, Mr. Smith.
You want to talk about leadership? Right? We got our new quarterback ready to come in, right? So a new leader might be born, right?
do you think that's gonna happen, Jeff? I mean, let's talk about it.
I do.
You do? You think it's
exactly
time for the changing of guard?
You think it's going to be this season?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's going to be this season. Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think it might be next game.
You know what always killed me about Eli? I hate to go here, but he always looked too small for his shoulder pads. Like, you know how there's the JV. You know how there's the JV player that's out there with the varsity team, and they didn't give him the real equipment like that. If you look at Eli, that's what he looks like.
Okay, you're disking a two-time Super Bowl winner.
And I'm going to diss him all day, but I'm sorry.
Jeff. Wait, you missed the part there. MVP of both Super Bowls.
Thank you.
No, you know, hey, Jeff, you know that one with the helmet catch? That was not Eli's. That was not Eli's. He should not have gotten that one.
Y'all are crazy. Well, Jeff, we want to welcome you to the show. You've already been talking with members of the flight crew. And the reason, guys, I asked Jeff to come on is because Jeff is what many call in leadership a leader's leader. He doesn't ask people to do something that he himself wouldn't do. And he believes in encouraging, he believes in showing, and he believes in a second chance for people. Jeff, will you introduce yourself and tell the people a little bit about you?
Yeah, so Jeff Smith, I'm transplanted into California right now. My daughter goes to UCSD, so I'm fortunate about that. And I was able to transfer with my company to California so I can be there. I run an organization that has about 260 employees. We bill about $7 million a month. So it's a fairly large organization. And, I got lots of work to do every day.
Well, and you get it done. Again, Jeff, one of the things we wanted to talk about was knowing your people and looking out for their welfare. And I watched you do something that just was amazing. When we were introduced to one another, one of the first things you did was you said, I want to help my team grow. And in that growth, you put some of your people through my coaching program, my 8-week coaching program. And what really caught my attention was that you didn't use a company credit card or company funds. You directly invested in them yourself. And you don't see many people do that. And I was hoping you would explain why you did that when you had other routes you could have went. What made you invest in your people?
Well, in that specific example, for those two folks, they were hard workers. They, you know, believed in the message and mission that we were going for, and you know, I felt that I wanted to help them, right? And I'm fortunate enough to be able to do something like that. And I didn't feel I wanted to use the I wanted to do it. It wasn't the company that wanted to do it. I wanted, you know, they were my employees. They were my team. So that was the choice I made there.
And Jeff, in terms of other leaders who are like yourself and looking for opportunities to advance other people's careers, what are some of the things you look for when you think about investing in someone, be it your time, be it, you know, whether getting them help through recommending podcasts or going to seminars? What are some things you look for that make you want to invest in someone like that?
Well, it's really discretionary effort, right? You know, if they're putting in the effort, then it's my job to give them the skill, right? So they have the will, then it's my role and responsibility to enhance their skill to succeed in their job. And then what I feel about most of us is we never work to our potential, right? It's like a constant battle against that. So, you know, let's try to recognize where we think we are as far as our potential and where we could be, and how do I get some incremental movement towards that, right? You know, and buy in from both. Like, I'll invest this if you invest that.
I like that. And so if I'm a young leader coming in, too, and I know you work a lot with individuals at different levels of leadership, what are some things I could do as a young leader to get the attention of those above me without kissing behind?
Well, again, once you're a leader, your role and responsibility is to help others succeed, right? It's really that simple. You can overcomplicate it with a million and one different things, but that becomes your role and responsibility, and it's getting growth from those people that that report up into you. So, you know, to your point and the reason some of the discussions we're having today is, you know, do you believe in them or not, right? You know, and do you have have you surrounded yourself with the right people, whether you just recently got the role or have been in the role for a while? That's your job.
Hey,
surround
Jeff.
Yourself with the best people that you can.
Hey, Jeff, it's Darian DePaul again. One of the things I was saying was that not every leader feels that way. Not every leader has that mentality. So instead of the leader talking to those who are subordinate, I'd like you to, as a leader, talk to other leaders out there and let them know what they should be looking at. Because we have some people that listen to us who are already leaders who don't know how to lead or don't know what other successful leaders tend to do it as a philosophy, as a means of being a good leader, as being a good, great representative of leadership. So would you just share something with them, please?
I think, you know, like if you become a leader, somebody somewhere saw something, right? That's how you got the role. So, you know, if you don't, you know, and then part two of that is self-awareness, right? You know, you have to be aware of your effect on people, positive or negative, right? And really understand that. So, you know, somebody somewhere recognized some talent to get you into that role. So it's your responsibility to elevate yourself to that role. And if you are new to that, there's tons of studies, books, podcasts, there's every means available. You know, Ricky, I'm gonna bust on you a little bit to where, hey, we come from a different time. We couldn't just dial in the internet and go, hey, let me learn something today, right?
Right.
You know, you actually had to read a book, you know. Like today, it's so easy. Everybody travels, pop a podcast in, and listen.
Well, I agree with you, and I know when I first got into sales and I came out of the military, it was the cassette tapes. It was Brian Tracy and a host of others, Zig Ziglar, that I would listen to get me prepared for the cell I was going in. I think part of what you've got to do, both as a current leader and then what you teach to those that you are bringing into leadership, is exactly how to prep. You know, that was one of the things, and you talked about it, Jeff. One of the things I'm most proud of in coaching is that in my time with my previous organization that you're still a part of, I brought 7 people into leadership, direct leadership, and I was very proud of that because all leaders, all great leaders want to produce. And not just numbers, but you want to produce that legacy of people that you've brought into leadership, and that was important for me. And to witness someone like you who made sure not only are we producing, you know, leaders, but we are bringing leaders into the industry that are going to be good. Is there, our question of the day, Jeff, was as an employee, and we're going to ask you this, we only got a few minutes left, as an employee, what would you say has been the biggest mistake you've made, either with your current company or previous company, or just as an employee, period? What would be the biggest mistake you think you've made?
It's a pretty tough one. I would say making the wrong hires, right? You know, we all make mistakes, and we all bring in people that don't work out, and then letting that lie and not dealing with it direct and quickly.
No, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say that that's the biggest one, right? You know, and then not addressing it quickly enough to correct it and get the right people in place. And, you know, letting somebody stay in a position too long. And, you know, that has negative effects all throughout your organization.
And I think you just touched the one I'm most concerned about with me. And that is, I have this leave no person behind mindset. And that isn't always what needs to happen. Leaders make the hard choices. That's how you take care of your people. You make the hard choices of who does and doesn't belong on the team bus. And if someone doesn't belong there, your team will let you know. You will see it. And then it's up to you as a leader to do something about it. Well, Jeff, like,
so I think your team looks at you with, you know, like, why are you letting this happen? And you lose credibility with your own team by letting that go on.
So, Jeff, here's what I'm going to ask you. We only got a few minutes left. If you, and I think Mr. DePaul asked you the same question, I'm going to try to ask it in a different way. What advice would you give to those who are in your position as teaching leaders? And then what would you say to those that should receive that advice?
So I could tell you one of the biggest things I think that that we can all do is, I'm going to reference the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, is sharpen your own saw, right? You have to learn every day. And there's not a day that goes by that I'm not listening to a podcast or reading something or trying to better my own skill set. And by doing that, you're serving your team and your leaders better.
I hope you wrote that down. I hope you were listening to that, no matter where you are on the food chain, where you are in your walk towards what it is you want to accomplish in your life, is that you have to, one, sharpen your own saw. Get into something that's going to make you better. You know, I love listening to certain things, but I also know what things make me better and what don't. And you just heard it from an expert. If you want to get better, you've got to start listening to things that's going to take you to the next level. It's been my good friend. I wish we could spend more time with him. As a matter of fact, Jeff, I do a podcast, and I also do a Success in the Evening Live. And I'd love to invite you to be on one of those on a Saturday when you got time. We could really break this down and get into it. We're about to hit the top of the hour and close out. Again, I want to thank Mr. Jeff Smith for being my guest. Jeff, continue to enjoy California. I'll be in touch with you soon. Guys, you've been listening to Success in the Evening with Coach Ricky Terry. Don't forget to join us next week. We got some powerful people coming in next week, some young. They keep saying they're not millennials, but we're going to see. And we're going to talk to them about how to get to the next level for your success. My name is Coach Rick Terry, president of One Due North, and your host for Success in the Evening. Thank you.
been a running again. Ever since. Oh, it's been a long, long, long time coming. But I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too long living. Oh, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's a thing again. Beyond the sky. Oh, it's been a long, 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 a long time coming. But I know change gonna come.
Hi, welcome to Success in the Evening with Coach Ricky Terry. You're about to listen to the radio version of Success in the Evening. This is a live radio show that airs on NLGradio.com every Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. That's right, every Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. on NLGradio.com. I can't wait to have you become a listener and then a member of the flight crew. All you got to do is listen to us. Become a first-time caller, and you become a member of the flight crew. Guys, sit back and enjoy my two very special guests, Miss Elizabeth Rose and Mr. Jeff Smith. They're going to help give you pieces to the puzzle that can advance you to the next level in your career. And we'll talk at the end of this broadcast.